Firstly, we're sort of going to be having a bit of an insect time. We're going to be speaking with the oldest tarantula club in the world, in fact, the British Tarantula Society. We'll be talking about them. We'll be talking about tarantulas and what is the appeal of them. Plus, we're going to have some really wonderful stories of family from Now Hear This, our storytelling program. We've got the best stories of the year. You are about to hear from the oldest tarantula society in the world, the British Tarantula Society. They are going to share with us the magic of tarantulas. And before you get freaked out, before your hair starts getting a little bit itchy because you think a tarantula is climbing down your back ever so slowly after falling off your shower curtain, fear not. There are no tarantulas in sight. We are just going to have a lovely, lovely chat about them. I'd like to describe something for you and see if you can guess what I'm talking about. It's very hairy. It has many, many eyes. It's a creepy crawly that would make some people scream out loud and jump onto the nearest table. It has 8 long legs. I'm talking about tarantulas. Can you believe that some people love tarantulas so much they actually meet regularly to discuss them? And Peter Kirk is the chairman of the British Tarantula Society, and he joins me now. Peter, thank you so much for your time tonight.
You're welcome.
Peter, tell me about when you first became interested in tarantulas.
It probably goes back quite a long way. I've been keeping bugs and creepy crawlies since I was about 4 years old. Mm-hmm. I'm over 50 now, so I've been keeping them for quite a long time.
You must have quite a collection.
I didn't keep all of them in that time, but over the years it just really developed from, you know, the odd newt or frog or toad through to insects and butterflies, moths, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I studied zoology at university. I came away from university looking for a job involving zoology, but failing dismally on that count. So decided to do something in my own time that was going to keep me sort of stimulated and motivated. And after switching from a few various sort of subjects, settled on tarantulas. And I've been doing that for about the last 25 plus years.
What is it about tarantulas that's kept you so interested for 25 years?
Well, initially it was because there was so little known about them, to be absolutely honest, in terms of how to keep them in captivity. Mm-hmm. It was still a relatively new subject. You could pick up tarantulas in the old pet shop over here in the UK, but they weren't really kept commonly. And the more I looked into it, the more I found there was really no information about how to keep them. The British Tarantula Society itself was formed back in around about 1984, which was probably a year or so before I started keeping tarantulas. Mm-hmm. And they were really the forerunners of keeping tarantulas, not only in this country, but now throughout the world.
What kind of behavior do they have?
It varies from species to species. We've mm-hmm. got about 850 or more species of tarantulas in the world, and their behavior ranges from really quite docile and placid, what we tend to refer to as the sort of teddy bears of the tarantula world, if you like, through to what I prefer to call defensive species, which will probably have your fingers as soon as you go near them.
Really? They're that vicious that they could sort of take part of your finger away?
They won't take part of your finger away, but you can certainly end up with one hanging off the end of your finger.
Oh, right. Got you.
And I definitely wouldn't recommend that. Their venom's not especially strong. Mm-hmm. I understand you just had a program about beekeeping.
Yes.
Their venom's probably not much stronger than a bee or a wasp sting.
Right.
Having said that, I got stung by wasps this summer, and it hurt like hell. So I really wouldn't recommend you get bitten by a tarantula.
Now, is there a particular type of tarantula that you're most drawn to?
My research in the past has led me to what they call the ornamental tarantulas of India and Sri Lanka. And these are black and white banded, brightly colored tarantulas. They live in the trees and I guess probably quite highly sought after in the tarantula world. And we've found a few new species of those over the last few years as well. So species that are new to science that have never been seen before.
So when you say they're ornamental, are they ornamental in the way that people will keep them in their homes as decoration for the lounge room or something like that?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, we really call them ornamental because they're just really brightly coloured and mm-hmm. quite ornately marked, but people do tend to use them as a really sort of aesthetically pleasing display animal in terms of, you know, they will put it in a huge vivarium, lots of foliage in there. They'll keep the conditions in there as natural as possible, and, you know, every evening this tarantula will climb out of from behind its cork bark retreat, sit on the side of it and wait for food, and it's quite a spectacular thing to see.
How big are they, Peter?
More spectacular to see them in the wild, but it's great to see them in captivity.
How big are they?
These particular tarantulas can grow to about, I guess, 8 inches or so. Normally around sort of 5 to 6 inches, maybe a little bit more. Tarantulas in general, though, some of the South American ones will grow up to a 12-inch leg span.
Gee, that's pretty scary for people that are scared of spiders.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you ever get people coming along to your society that want to combat their... Because a lot of people are really scared of spiders. Do you get people that are wanting to combat that coming along to your society?
Absolutely. And I know places like the Zoological Society of London actually run courses on curing their arachnophobia.
Right.
And this involves, I believe, a degree of hypnotherapy and literally coming face to face with a tarantula. And the idea is at the end of the course, you'll have your photo taken with this tarantula sitting on your hand, and you know, you get your certificate to say that you've overcome your fear.
Oh, wow. My guest is Peter Kirk. He's the chairman of the British Tarantula Society, and we're talking about tarantulas themselves. Do you actually have them in your home, Peter?
Yes, I do. I don't have hundreds, though some people do. I've got what I would consider a reasonable amount. but some people become very, very obsessive about the whole thing, and you know, you'll have people literally 300, 400 tarantulas.
Wow, in their house.
Yep.
And how do you house them?
They tend to be kept, these days they tend to be kept individually in what they call vivariums, glass or plastic containers, which you can control the temperature and humidity of the microclimate within that. There are some species that you can keep together,
mm-hmm.
But these tend to be little family groups where you've maybe had a female that's laid an egg sac. The eggs have hatched out, so you've got lots of babies. Mm-hmm. The babies can stay together for quite a long time afterwards. But other than that, generally speaking, they're kept individually unless you're planning on breeding them when you'll introduce a male into a female's enclosure.
How many babies will they have when they reproduce?
Again, that varies from both species to species, mm-hmm. and the age of the tarantula itself. You could be talking from maybe 20 babies up to, I would guess, well over 100.
Gosh, so the tarantulas you have in your house, do you become attached to them like you would a pet dog or a pet cat?
Absolutely. I think that when you've got 300 or so, that's probably less the case. But when you've got a what I would consider a manageable amount, yes, you do, and you tend to know them individually. You tend to know the temperament of each individual spider as well. As I say, some of them tend to be a little bit more defensive than others, and that tends to run from species to species, but you'll always get exceptions to that. You'll get something which we generally consider to be quite a docile species, mm. and it'll have a bad day.
Right, as we all do.
Yeah, absolutely. But that's one of the reasons we really recommend that you don't handle your tarantulas.
Right. So, that was what I was going to ask you. Do you get them out and play with them at all, or do you just leave them?
No, the spiders don't gain any benefit from doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Tarantulas tend to taste and smell with their feet as well. So, you know, your hands are secreting waste products, waste chemicals from your body all the time. So getting your spider to sit on that's probably not very nice for them. If you were to drop your tarantula, they're not the strongest bodied of invertebrates.
Right.
And what happens is the abdomen, the actual sort of big round part of the back of the spider, tends to split and burst like a bag of jelly.
Right.
Basically. They don't have any natural coagulants, so they tend to bleed to death very quickly.
Oh, gosh.
So there's always the risk, of course, of getting bitten.
Right. Of course. How long do they live for?
Again, it varies from species to species. I would, on average, 10 to 15 years, perhaps. But
wow, so that's a really long time.
It's longer than most people imagine.
Yeah.
The reality is that we've had some specimens in captivity live for about 30 years.
Gosh, that is extraordinary.
Yeah.
That's really extraordinary. I wanted to ask you as well, just in your own life, has your interest in spiders caused any dramas in your own personal life? Have people been a bit scared to visit you or anything like that?
I've tended to avoid that situation. I mean, we were moving house the year before last. Mm-hmm. So what I actually did was temporarily shipped all my spiders and snakes. I keep snakes as well, so I shipped all my spiders and snakes.
Don't snakes eat spiders?
No, not usually.
All right. Oh, that's good.
Occasionally spiders will eat snakes, funnily enough.
Really?
Yeah, and I have seen some photographs of your own redback spider eating a small species of snake that was tangled up in its web.
Well, our spiders are a whole, you know, I'm sure a land unto their own. But so, what happened when you were moving?
Yeah, well, I just basically shipped everything out temporarily while people were coming around looking at the house.
Oh,
because and I guess sort of, you know, rightly so, people can be a little bit irrational about whether I'm likely to leave anything behind, basically.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
So you account for them all very well, I imagine.
Yeah, and I'll always check if somebody's likely to be a little bit phobic about either the snakes or the spiders. We had a guest engineer whose legs buckled from underneath him when we mentioned there were snakes in a room that he
had
the radiator of, so...
Oh, gosh. So what do you make of people, just finally before what do you make of people eating them? Does that make you sad when people...
It does. It has been going on for a long time. There's really no excuse. What we do know is we've had one of our people go out and research in and around sort of Vietnam and Cambodia, where they actually carry out this practice. They've really decimated the populations of tarantulas in and around the villages that they do this, and they're now having to travel further and further afield to get the spiders. So the damage to the ecosystem, both in terms of removing the spiders from their natural habitat, affecting the predator-prey balance, but also the physical damage when they dig one of these things out, they're the things that cause problems for us. But, you know, we do a lot of captive breeding within the society. We have a huge exhibition every year that we hold in the Midlands in this country. Our next exhibition is up in Coventry at the Ricoh Stadium, and that's in May, and all the details of that are on our website.
Yeah, and I noticed that you're having a conference. What kinds of things do you talk about at the conference?
We hold a series of lectures in February, and we have sort of guest lecturers from all over, really sort of talking about their research, what they've been doing. Our lectures are going to be held on the 22nd of February this year, down in Bristol. We normally sort of open the day with a fairly light-hearted lecture, and then we go on to various expeditions that people have been on, what they've found, what they've discovered. Some historical information in there as well. So it tends to be a very varied day.
Wow.
With regards to the big exhibition that we have every year, that's on the 18th of May, as I said, up in the Ricoh Arena in Coventry. And that's really where people can go and buy tarantulas. They can buy equipment, T-shirts, jewellery, pretty much everything to do with tarantulas.
Well, it sounds really fascinating, like a fascinating world that I think most of us didn't even know existed. And I'd really like to thank you for your time. I think you've probably gotten up quite early to chat with us, Peter, so thank you so much.
And then just before I go, could I just say hello to Sydney Jordan, who is our only Australian member.
You've only got one Australian member?
One Australian member.
Well, hopefully that changes after tonight, Peter.
I would hope so.
So can you just give us the website for anybody who's fascinated in tarantulas?
Absolutely. It's www.thebts.co.uk.
Can I just ask one? I've just had a tweet from Gavin who wants to know, how much do the spiders cost?
Oh, now that's a good question, because that, again, will vary. The size of the spider, the age of the spider, and really how common in the hobby the spider is. It can range from anything from a couple of pounds for a baby tarantula, that's maybe, you know, 5 millimetres across, to, I guess, for something that's really, really sought after, you're talking about a couple of £100.
Wow. Gosh.
They tend to middle around the sort of 25, 30 pound mark for a reasonably sized tarantula.
Right. Well, it's been fascinating finding out about it tonight. And thank you so much for joining us, Peter. I really appreciate it. Thanks very much.
Okay, thank you.
That's Peter Kirk, the chairman of the British Tarantula Society. And you can find out all about the British Tarantula Society on their website, the oldest tarantula society in the world, founded in 1984.